It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I do that for two reasons. One, it's starting to look like Christmas. And two, if you didn't notice, the people that were on this stage a moment ago and one is still up here are very talented. Wow. Amen. Praise God for their talents being used. And I know that you're very thankful after my little one-liner there of singing that I don't lead the worship around here. But man, thank you, Keaton, and band and choir for just a phenomenal job. Emily, thanks for the song. It was really, really good. Everybody doing pretty good? Four of you are doing great. This is awesome. Well, I hope that after we get done today, all of you are a little bit better. We are today wrapping up this series that we've been in for now 13 weeks. Hopefully it hasn't seemed like an eternity to you. I hope it's been good and been healthy and been encouraging and been a blessing to you as we've just taken these last several weeks and really looked at this idea of we believe and looking into Scripture, not so much at what we believe, but much more about who we believe. And during Christmas time, we definitely talk a lot about believing and all those kind of things. And for us as Christians, believing is a year-round thing. It's a giving of our trust and our dependence upon the great one whose name is God. I want to encourage you that if you have by chance missed some of the teaching in this series, to know that you can hop on our website, hollandchapel.org, and or onto our app that you can download onto your phone, and you can catch all of these sermons. There were a couple that didn't record for whatever reason, and we actually went back and re-recorded those so that you can have those. We want you to get this teaching and just allow God to build you in your faith. As we were getting ready for today, I always meet with our entire pastoral team to prepare to preach because they help me and they encourage me and they pour into me. And I said, well, we're going to try to wrap this thing up in about 30 minutes on Sunday. And they gave a big chuckle as I said that I was going to take about 30 minutes. But here's the reality. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God today, and I'm probably going to tell you everything I know about twice today about the kingdom of God, because he is brilliant, he is beyond me, and as we talk about the kingdom of God, God reigns. We believe that God reigns. My heart, my mind is full and overwhelmed at who we get to serve, who we get to believe in, who we get to worship, who we get to follow, and who we do get to declare that we believe in. I don't want to waste your time this morning telling you what I don't know. I want to spend my time this morning telling you what I do know. I want to begin by telling you what I know based on my life and experience, interaction with other people, and things that have happened in my world. And then I want to wrap it up telling you what I know based on the truth of Scripture. So let me begin by telling you some things that I know that are really the result of what I've experienced in life. And really what I know are the things that I want, okay? The things that I want. I want things to be better. I want crime to be gone. I want violence to cease. I want people to get along. I want world hunger to be no more. I want human trafficking to be abolished. I want wrong to be wrong. And I want right to be right. I want to know what is right. And I want to know what is wrong. I want no more debate, arguing. I want everybody to agree. I want everybody to agree that what is right is right and what is wrong is wrong. I want everybody to love everybody, to embrace and to enjoy what is right. I want sickness to be eradicated. I want sadness to be no more. I want pain to be gone. And if you think what I just shared with you is pie in the sky idea, I would agree with you. Because I just began describing to you what perfection would look like. But we don't get to experience perfection in this world, do we? We experience imperfection every single day. And greater than that, we experience the impact of brokenness and sin in our world. Yet, those things I just listed are things that I want. I want everything to be the way it should be. Even if I don't know how things, some things should be, I want them to be as they should be. I want my questions answered. I want people to love each other. I want kindness to be the norm. I want all people to feel valued. I want bad stuff gone. I want good stuff. I want right to be right, and I want wrong to be gone. And here's what I think. I think that all of us feel similar about most of these things. In fact, I would go so far as to say that the most liberal individual out there in the world would readily admit that our world is in chaos, that there is right and that there is wrong, and something must be done. Here's the deal. You and I, people, we can't solve all these problems that I just declared. Because we, listen to me, we are the problem. Our hope's not in ourselves, our hope's not in our nation, our hope's definitely not in politics. So where do we look for hope? Well, one of the most well-known passages of Scripture we read together earlier, and I want to read the beginning of it again, and it's the prayer that Jesus prayed when he was kind of at, you could almost say, his place where he's like, you know what, something's got to happen here. And he reaches out to the Father, and he expresses his heart to him. And here's what Jesus says in his prayer to the Father. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name." Then he says these words, "Thy kingdom come." I'll repeat that. "Your kingdom, please come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, this is one of those passages that is a prayer that we learned as the model prayer, something for us to learn how to pray from or like. And I think that even if we could quote it, maybe sometimes we miss what's being declared here. And the part that I really want us to jump out, and get our attention this morning is this part about thy kingdom come. Jesus crying out to the Father saying, "Father, I want your kingdom to come." The kingdom of God is spoken of a lot in the Bible. So it begs the question, what is the kingdom of God? Before we really speak into this question, what is the kingdom of God, let's make sure we know who the king is. Isn't that important? If you're going to talk about a kingdom, you must first know who the king is. Well, believers, people who declare we believe, the kingdom that we say that we're a part of, it belongs to God. Any kingdom is the extent of the rule of the king. In the kingdom of God that we are a part of as believers, Jesus is the king. Why is Jesus the king? Let me give you some reasons why Jesus is the king. Let me give you the biggest reason. Because Jesus is God. Okay? Why is Jesus the king? Because Jesus is God. He created everything. He sustains everything, he rules, and he reigns. And I want to remind you how good of a king he is. King Jesus lays down his life for his people. Jesus came here as we are beginning to celebrate in the Christmas season the birth of Jesus. He came here to live among us, to set heaven aside for a while, to live among us in this broken place in which we all have this angst and this desire for things to be better. He left perfection to enter into brokenness. And that's the king. And he lived here perfectly. They crucified him on a cross, and he rose again from the grave. That's why Jesus is the king of the kingdom. So if Jesus is the king of the kingdom, then what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God through Jesus over everyone and everything. I'll repeat that. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God through Jesus over everyone and everything. And here's the message of the kingdom. Here's the mission of the kingdom. Here is the thrust of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about Jesus ruling and reigning, and he is all about people in his rule and in his reign. And he is about people like you and I that have royally messed up sin, messed this whole world up, put it into chaos, and he says, I want them to be my people. And he says, even though they've messed up and they've ruined everything, I'm going to bridge a gap. I'm going to overcome a divide that they cannot overcome. I'm going to bridge the gap that sin has created, and I'm going to make a way for them to be my people. Again, this good, good message of the kingdom, that our King, whose name is Jesus, lived for us, that our King, whose name is Jesus, died for us, that our King, whose name is Jesus, was buried, and that our King, whose name is Jesus, rose again. Do you understand that through what we just declared, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, that he overcame everything that we want gone? He overcame and defeated these incredible enemies that we cannot overcome, like death. Anybody like the idea of no more death? I'm putting my hand up. I like the idea of no more death. He says, I won that battle. I am victorious once and for all. He won the victory over something else that we cannot defeat or overcome, and that is sin. We cannot beat it. We cannot overcome it. We are stuck in it. And Jesus said, did everything that was necessary to win that war and to defeat sin, to defeat hell, to defeat Satan, and to defeat everything that is against us. And Jesus one day, listen to me, Jesus one day will rule over everyone and everything fully and finally. The people of God, those who believe, will rule and reign with him. Now, if you're like me, you like that idea. Especially if you're a believer, you're like, yep, I'm all in. Love the idea of that. It is truth. We are going to get it one day, and it is good to look forward to. So this whole idea of the kingdom of God, when does it go into effect? Okay, kingdom of God, Jesus is the king. What is the kingdom of God? It's God ruling through Jesus over everyone and everything. When does it go into effect? Is that just way out there? Well, listen to this very carefully. The kingdom of God has come and is coming. The kingdom of God has come and is coming. As you process that for just a moment, there are two things that God does not want us to be. God does not want us to be naive. Okay, believers? Okay, Christians? Okay, followers? God does not want you to be naive. He doesn't want you to be so naive that you're going to say, yep, Jesus reigns right now. There's nothing wrong with the world and everything's okay. How foolish would we be to fall under that false idea, because we know things are still in chaos. So he doesn't want us to be naive to think that everything's good now. But he also does not want us to be hopeless. He doesn't want us to be hopeless. He doesn't want us naive, and he doesn't want us hopeless. He doesn't want us naive to say, yep, everything's good, everything's okay, nothing's wrong with the world. He doesn't want us hopeless either. Oh, everything is messed up. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, and what are we going to do? It's just going to all come crashing down. He doesn't want us hopeless, because our King brings hope. And so the kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of God is coming. What do we mean by that? The kingdom of God is anywhere that Jesus rules and reigns. And so if Jesus is your king, and he rules and reigns in your life, guess what? There is the kingdom of God. If Jesus rules and reigns in this church, guess what? Then there is the kingdom of God. As you go to work tomorrow, and as you obey the king, guess what? There goes the kingdom of God. Everywhere that we find ourselves living under the authority of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come. But let me tell you something. In all of its glory is the kingdom of God coming. And it's what we all long for. It's what we all desire. When everything is made right, the kingdom of God has come and is coming. There was a good movie a few years ago called Radio. If you missed it, you should jump back. My favorite part of the movie in Radio, he's a kind of a special needs guy, and he gets to hang out with a coach, and the coach starts loving him a little bit, football coach, and coach takes him to dinner, you know, at the restaurant, the local diner, and they get done, and the waitress comes out after he's eaten this big old huge meal, and Radio's, you know, fat and happy, and she says, okay, strawberry pie or apple pie? You know what Radio says? Both. When it comes to the kingdom, it's both. The kingdom of God has come, and it's coming. We are not naive to say, oh, everything's good, Jesus reigns, nothing matters. We're also not hopeless. Well, everything's just falling apart. We are full of hope today because our Savior, our King, rules and reigns today in our lives, in our church, and one of these days, He is going to rule and to reign in everything. He's going to bring rescue by recreating everything. He's going to recreate earth, as Scripture declares. He's going to redeem people who trust in Jesus for salvation. It's interesting because we began this study and this series in the book of Genesis. And if you pay attention to the book of Genesis, one thing you'll notice is that there's two chapters of creation followed by a chapter of judgment for sin. You get to the end of the story, if you will. You get at the end of the Bible, and you enter into the book of Revelation. And if you notice what happens in there, you have two chapters in the book of Revelation at the end about creation, and it's followed by judgment for sin. Check out Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. So what we want to do right now as we look at Revelation chapter 21 is we want to kind of fast forward in time. We want to look forward to the time that Jesus, our King, rules and reigns finally and fully. Okay, as we look at Revelation 21, we're looking forward to that time that He reigns finally and fully. So believers, this is a passage that should excite you and thrill you and give you great hope. Revelation chapter 21 and beginning of verse number 1. Before I read the first few words there, a guy named John is writing this down. John says as he writes this book that he struggles to take pen and paper and describe everything that he sees and he's experiencing as God is giving him a vision of the future. But I think he does a pretty good job of describing what he sees and what is to come here in Revelation 21, this picture of the future. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't there something just like really cool about things that are new? Anybody just like that new car smell? Some of you like it so much that you just keep on having a car payment, don't you? I like the new car smell. I don't like the payment. If you want to give me that smell without the payment, I will sniff it and sniff it and sniff it. We like that new, don't we? New house. We got friends that are building a new house across the street, and they're driving by every day checking on the progress. They're excited about their new house. That's cool. That's good. New shoes. Some of you would just like lose your mind if I said new shoes for everybody, right? You're like, oh, right? Just new shoes. New. There is something about new. He doesn't say you're in a new car. He doesn't even limit it to a new house. God covers everything, and He says, you're getting a new heaven and a new earth. I think the earth is pretty cool. Can you imagine a new one, a perfect one? He says, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. Verse 2. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And so, in Genesis, we have God giving the two people that He created first, Adam and Eve, this garden. It was perfect, and it was lush, and it was beautiful. Sin came in, chaos broke forth. That garden is no more, it's gone. We had a garden, and He says, you know what, but there's a city coming. There's a brand new city coming, and it's going to be everything that it should be. He goes on to say, it came down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. For her husband. Husbands in the room, listen to me for just a moment, all right? Listen to me, husbands. Some of you are young, some of you are old, some of you are in between. Think back with me, wedding day. Come on, husbands. Remember those doors flying open? And there she was, ready to walk down the aisle. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? And your heart stopped, and you couldn't breathe, and you're like, God, I am so blessed. Right? He says that we, his people, are being prepared for him like a bride dressed for her husband. We are that bride, believers. Verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. This declaration that everything is the way God desired for it to be from the beginning of mankind. God getting to be with his people getting to be with him. If you think back to the garden, Adam and Eve, every single day God would come and visit with them in the garden. It's exactly the way God wanted to be. But what messed all that up? Sin messed that up. And God said, sin is going to be no more. We're taking care of that through Jesus on the cross. And we're going to get to be together. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And we're going to be together. We're going to be together forever. No more separation. No more waiting. No more angst with God forever. Verse 4. He, the King, will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Gone, annihilated, no more, not gonna happen again. Did you catch the list of stuff that he said there's gonna be no more of? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Can I get an amen? Come on, people. Oh. God says, no more. No more. Another passage of Scripture says that whenever things made right, it says the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. Do you know what we call that? We call that unnatural. A better description of a lion laying down with a lamb would be supernatural. So the supernatural gives me hope. One of these days, my boys are not going to fight anymore. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We're blaming all the craziness right now that Christmas is coming. I don't know what we're going to blame it on when Christmas is over with. No more conflict. All this mess that's going on in Afghanistan, of which none of us know the extent of, no more. No more wars, no more rumors of wars. Gone. Gone. Verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne said, who do you think sitting on the throne at this point? Come on, help me out. Four of you said it. Come on now, help me out. Who do you think sitting on the throne? Me? You? Who? Come on. Jesus. The one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Verse 6. And he also said, it is finished. Repeating the words that he declared on the cross. Then he goes on to say, Jesus the King declares, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. We established early in this teaching series of We Believe that if you don't know where you came from, you're not going to have a clue where you're headed. Jesus is the beginning and Jesus is the end. He is the one that created us. He is the one that sustains us. He is the one that will keep us. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And one of these days, those who believe in him will return to him. That means that now, as we think forward, now matters. Everything matters. My life matters. Your life matters. What we do now impacts the future. It impacts our future and it impacts the future of others. Our decisions and actions do matter. Our decisions and our actions will either bring glory to the King and others will see his glory and we will be rewarded, or we will make sinful choices. God will not be glorified. Others will not see his glory, and we will experience consequences. Now, let me delineate between the two here to make this very, very clear. Let me talk about those who are not Christians for just a moment. And if that is you, I say this with love in my heart, and I want you to know exactly what God's word declares about those who have not believed in Jesus. It's very important for you to know. Those who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not believe that he lived for them, and they do not believe that he died for their sins, and they don't believe that he rose again from the dead. What that will mean is separation from God forever, missing out on his kingdom that we've been declaring, the blessings that come with it, experiencing the opposite of eternal life, which is eternal punishment, and it will be experienced in hell. Truth from God's word. It's not one that I get excited about, but it's one that I must declare because it's reality for those who do not trust in Jesus. That's the reason why we believe. It's the reason why we declare who we believe in and we make it known to others, because for Christians, for those who believe, we are the only group on the planet that bases our righteousness with God upon the relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know every other group out there, regardless of what they call themselves, if they are not Bible-believing Christians, they are banking on something or someone else for their righteousness and for their entrance into the kingdom of God? We say, you know what? We can't do it. We can't do it. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We're not godly enough. We can't do it. We're banking everything on Jesus. We're putting everything in his lap. We're putting all of our trust in him, saying that he is the only one that can bring this salvation. And one of these days, we will stand before him. Believers will stand before Jesus. Unbelievers will stand before Jesus. As believers, we will stand before Jesus, not as rejecters of Jesus, but as children of God. And we have the privilege, we now have the privilege of honoring him with our lives. The result in our honoring him with our lives will be reward and position of authority in the kingdom of God. There's much to be gained in honoring God. There's much to be lost in not honoring God with your life. The amazing thing is that through Jesus, regardless of what we do or don't do, he makes us children of God. We get to enter into the kingdom. We get to be with Jesus. And it's amazing to me that even though we are the problem, he redeems us out of our sin, says, now that you're following me, I want to use you to help the rest of the world know what my message, the message of the kingdom is. And we actually get to be a part of the solution. We actually get to be a part of blessing others, bringing about redemption when we declare who the King is with our lives, making him visible through our obedience and making him known through our declaration and through our mouths. As believers, we get to join Jesus in the quest of the kingdom. So let me ask you a couple questions. What if we, this group of people, committed our lives to the rescue mission of Jesus by bringing redemption, the glorious gospel, to our friends? What if we, Holland Chapel, realize that we are able to be light that reaches into the darkness? Again, the kingdom of God has come and is coming. I want you to know that God is active now. He's not like, hey, I'm going to do something about everything in the future. He's active now. Here's how God is active now. He's working in me and he's working in you. He's working through me and he's working through you. That's how God is active now in our world and in our lives. That's how God is ruling now, is through us. So what can I do to impact the future? Listen to me. What can you do to impact the future? Two words. Obey Jesus. Believers, obey Jesus. Guess what happens when you obey Jesus? The kingdom of God comes. How does God want to usher in his kingdom today? Through our obedience. How do I reach the place of obedience? It begins with faith. If I say that God is who he says he is and I believe that, then my reaction to that ultimately, the outflowing of that ultimately should be mine and your obedience. Every time we obey Jesus, the kingdom of God comes. I want to throw the first statement on the screen here for you that I think that everybody probably in the room, probably, especially if you're a Christian, you definitely agree with. And that first one is this. I want to rule and reign with Jesus in the future. If you're a believer and you're like, yeah, I'm for that, just give me some kind of grunt, some kind of amen, some kind of uh-huh, some kind of something. Come on. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sign me up. I want to win, right? I want to rule. I want to reign. I want to be safe. No more death. No more dying. No more crying. No more pain. Count me in. Woo! All right? We should be excited about that. How many of us are willing to say this next thing, though? I want Jesus to rule and reign in me now. Oh, hey, hey, I love the excitement. Amen. That's where we're at, is today. And sure, Jesus wants us to rule and reign with him, but he wants us to do it by reigning in us now. If the kingdom of God is everywhere God reigns, I allow his kingdom to come when I obey him. I want Jesus to rule my heart. I want Jesus to rule my thoughts. My plans, my giving. And let me tell you something. There's a few of you in this room that you just obey all the time. And you're like, you know, the super Christian. And, you know, you're just, whew, you're always on it. For the rest of us, I'm like you. I like to rule. I like to reign. I like to call the shots. I like to get what I want when I want it. And so when I say that I want Jesus to reign in my life, you've got to understand, that's me saying something very hard. That's me saying I don't have authority over my life anymore, but Jesus does. I don't know what's best for me anymore, but Jesus does. I don't have it all figured out anymore, but Jesus does. I don't know where I need to go, but Jesus does. But that's what I want. And that's what he's doing in me. Let me just tell you some areas where I want Jesus to rule and reign in my life. Some areas that I struggle with him in ruling and reigning my life. I want to not have a bad temper. I can lose it like that if Jesus is not ruling and reigning in me. I want to not be short with my words. Sometimes my gifting is my cursing. Are you with me? I'm pretty good with words. I also can be pretty bad with words. And I don't want God to take my lips and my heart that is revealed through my lips. And I want to, sometimes I can say thank you and just cut people to pieces. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can say nice things in a mean way. I want God to change that in me. I want him to rule and reign in me. Here's a big one. I want to not be impatient. I'm the only one that struggles with that, I know. Oh, man, Jesus, rule and reign in me. These next two have a depth of meaning for me. I want to be satisfied. Coupled with that, I want to be content. I want Jesus to rule and reign in my life so much that that's where I'm at. And so I'm working to allow Jesus to have reign over me in these areas. Let me tell you why. I want my children to be a part of the kingdom. They watch me every single day. And guess what? I'm grown and I still watch my mom and my dad. You with me? Parents, you think you don't have influence over your kids, you are completely fooled. Oh, I want my kids to be a part of the kingdom. The only chance that I have for my kids to be a part of the kingdom is for me to obey the king. Because if I declare that Jesus is my king and I don't live that Jesus is my king, who's going to be the first people in my life to see that and to know that? My kids. I want them to be a part of the kingdom. I want my friends to be a part of the kingdom. I want my neighbors to be a part of the kingdom. So believers, we say that we believe. Well, if we believe what we say we believe, then we believe that everybody one day is going to stand before Jesus. We believe that everybody that does believe in Jesus is going to stand before Jesus, and we believe that everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus is going to stand before Jesus. That's what we believe. That's what we say we believe. If we really, really believe that, don't you think that we would be moved to tell those that are around us and to show others around us who the king is, first of all, through obeying the king? And as we obey the king, having the opportunity and the privilege then to share with them how they too can know the king. How do you get into the kingdom of God? Well, you know, here's some ideas that are out there. You go to church. You do good things. You share. You're generous. You get baptized. I mean, you know the list, right? No, that's not how you get into the kingdom of God. Jesus, he's the only way into the kingdom of God. So if you are a person who hasn't come to that place, you say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and you're wondering if there's a lot of different ways or if there is only one way, and his name is Jesus. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And for those of us who believe, for those of us who declare that to be truth, may it be revealed in our lives of obedience. May it be revealed as we talk to our neighbors about our King. The kingdom is all about the king. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom is all about the king. Would you turn to your neighbor and simply tell them, the kingdom is all about the king. Go for it. Follow it up with, his name is Jesus. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that's not something we just, whisper to our neighbor with a smile on our face, but I pray that our lives reveal that. That's why now matters. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is coming. Some next steps for you to consider, they're going to be on the screen, going to be on the backside of your communication card. First, is you just like, man, my next step today is just to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus. Maybe you're like, I've been hearing all this. Maybe for some of you, you've been hearing it for a long, long time. Maybe for some of you, this is all new for you. And you know, this is like maybe your first time even here, or you've been here throughout this We Believe series, and you've been considering, maybe wrestling with this. And this whole idea of the kingdom of God, Jesus ruling, reigning, no more death, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, all those things that he declares is coming. You're like, I want to be a part of that. I want to experience that. I know I can't experience that in and of myself. Enter the kingdom through Jesus. Let his death, let his burial, let his resurrection be your salvation, because it is your only way of salvation. And we want you to receive him today and enter into the kingdom of God through him. Maybe next step for you is just to share the hope of the kingdom with. Maybe there's somebody in your life that is, they don't have Jesus. They don't have hope. They don't have salvation. They don't have redemption. Maybe you live next door to them. Maybe you live with them. Maybe you go to work with them every day. Maybe you've been related to them your entire life. That would mean that they're your relative. They don't have Jesus. Maybe that's that person. You're like, you know what? I just want them to see me obeying Jesus, not because they think I'm a good person. I just want them to see me obeying Jesus because I want them to experience Jesus. Maybe for you, it's just to allow God to rule in this area of my life. I told you what some of mine are. God's been working on me a long, long time. He continues to work on me to rule and to reign in my life. And maybe there's an area or two or 20 that God is bringing to your heart and life today to say, you know what? This is where you don't let me rule. This is where you don't let me reign. And I want to rule and reign your life. I want to be known as your king, not with just the words that you say, but with the life that you live. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for this incredible gift of faith. We thank you that we have you, great God, to believe in. You created us. You sustain us. You see everything about us. Woo, and you love us. And in knowing everything about us, you allowed Jesus to come, Jesus to die, and you brought forth Jesus from the grave so that we could have hope, so that we could have redemption, so that we could have salvation. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen our faith as believers, that we would believe in you greater than ever before, to the point that we obey you, so that others around us, whether they're here today or not, would see our faith and see our obedience and see the King whose name is Jesus and forever be changed. We pray for those that have not entered into the kingdom. We pray for those that have never placed their trust, their faith, their belief in Jesus and in Jesus alone. I pray that you would help them to understand that whatever it is that they're thinking, trusting in, believing in, is not going to get it done. It's not going to accomplish what they hope it's going to accomplish. And that is forever with you. Only you, Jesus, can do that. We pray that faith would erupt in this place today. And that people would give their hearts and their lives to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.